Hey, Frog fans. Just a quick note before we begin the podcast. The night we actually recorded this, about 10 minutes in, the stream stopped recording. Fortunately, Ryan actually had a recording on her phone. Unfortunately, though, that audio quality is more like a telephone phone call rather than the typical podcast quality you're used to. I'll break in one more time and give you a heads up once we transition to that recording. But until then, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 108 for September 11th, 2018. On tonight's panel, we've got Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hi.
Did you dry off after Friday?
I did. God, yeah. We walked to the game from the Knox Henderson area, and we had ponchos, but as you walk, your poncho like flies up. So I still got wet. But
so
once
you walked
rain
all the
stopped,
way from, you went to Chewy's after me, right?
I know, we walked back from Chewy's.
Yeah, so like, Ryan and I were texted before the game.
I know. Yeah, 1.3 miles.
Well, it wasn't too bad. Actually, you probably got there faster than I did because the traffic coming back from that area just to find a parking space was pathetic. But
exactly. I mean, it's going to be we probably should have just taken an Uber, but there's that construction and I don't know. I'm kind of weird like that. I was like, oh, we can do it. We can walk.
Mm-hmm. You're probably better off without an Uber.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we get to the SMU game here in a minute. Also on tonight's panel, we got Wes Phelan. How you doing, Wes?
Hey, Sean, I'm doing good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. How was your weekend? Yes.
Well, I was dry most of the weekend.
Yeah, you stayed in Georgetown this weekend. Was probably a good call. Well,
we did have a lot of rain, but I was stayed inside and was a couch potato and watched football games. So I was a happy guy.
Sounds like a perfect weekend.
It was.
And finally, rounding out tonight's panel, we got Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm good. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Shannon.
Hope all is well. Happy Monday to everybody.
It is a good Monday. And you were up in Louisville, so you weren't at the SMU game. How bad was the weather up in Louisville on Friday night?
It was terrible, man. I'm soaking wet, you know, got these nice clothes on, and I got soaked 2 days in a row because I had Pee Wee football the next day, and this was a wet weekend for me, Wes.
When are they gonna do the ceremony?
The 28th. We're gonna redo it on 28th. So
All right.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Shannon, you want to explain to the fans?
Sure. I had I'm honored to have my jersey retired, my high school jersey retired. It's the first in even Louisville history to do that. So I'm very honored, very humbled by it. It's definitely a great moment for me and my family, and so I'm just honored and excited at the same time. So
yeah, you should be. That's a great honor.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're all proud of you, man. That's an awesome honor.
Thank you.
Yeah, remind us again. I need to put that on my calendar. Where are
28th,
we at?
28th, right?
What do we have going on that weekend? We need to come out. We need to go out there and support you.
Send you guys all the details, and I'll have you out there with me. So if you guys come out, I'll have you your sideline pass, and you'll come out and just hang out. It'd be good. And hang out. I invited all my teammates and all my, you know, anybody who helped me along the way. One thing I asked them to do is not just honor me. I wanted my teammates and everybody on the field with me because it wasn't about me. It's about everybody else as well. So I'm not going to be out there by myself.
Oh, that's neat. Well, congratulations. We'll be there for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, that's going to be a great honor. And, so, Ryan, you're asking about where we're going to be on the 28th. We don't have a game on the 28th, not like this last Friday. We play Iowa State, though, on the 29th. So,
Yep.
And that's that's here in Fort Worth. So we're not going to be traveling. We're not going to be in Iowa.
Yeah.
So
that'll be good. We can all make that. Good deal.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't miss that. All right. Well, a couple other things not to miss this week. Here's this week's news. First off, big congratulations to the women's soccer team. They're still undefeated. They're having a heck of a season. We also have the women's volleyball. They are also tearing it up. They got their third tournament win, and McCall was actually named Rookie of the Week. Other big honors this week, probably no surprise to TCU fans, but Kevontae Turpin was named the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week. And his run back against SMU was his fifth of his career, which he actually passes LaTerrence Dunbar, I believe. Is that right?
LaTerrence Dunbar, yep.
Yeah, for a TCU record on number of career run backs. So congrats to him, and hopefully we'll see a couple more before the end of the season.
two Dallas guys.
Does anybody keep a record of how many ankles he dislocates when he makes those moves? Because I swear that guy at Texas a couple of years ago when he did, that guy had to leave an ankle or knee on the ground out there. That was the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Well, I think you the cleats just sheared off the bottom of his shoe. I think that's what happened.
He caught wind of us talking about him going left to right, and he finally said, "Hey, the hell with it."
Yeah. He is amazing.
We'll give Shannon credit for that one.
I think that's all of us. We're all on the page with that one.
No, that was good. We'll talk about that when we talk about the SMU game here in just a minute. Also, the game time for the TCU-Texas game has been announced, and it's a 3:30 start. And to be honest with you, that's actually a really good start for TCU on that game. Gives fans plenty of time to get down there early in the morning, plenty of time to come back from Austin afterwards. So definitely a good one. But also, Ryan, we're taking a bus down to Austin, aren't we?
We are, and if you have not ridden the Killer Frogs bus trip yet, you're missing out. And the neatest thing about these bus rides is the people you meet. Some of my best friends have come from these alumni bus trips, Killer Frogs bus trips. I mean, I met last year, and we all tailgate together now. So, and of course, that's how I got to know Sean and Wes and WC and Scott and Kelly. I mean, everybody. So just come once. And if you don't like it, you never have to do it again. But it's a lot of fun. We have food and drinks. You can bring your own stuff. And we head down early enough to where you can go to the TCU tailgate or go to.
And it was at this point the stream stopped recording. We'll switch over now to the recording that Ryan made on her phone. But again, I warn you, this is more like a telephone quality recording. I did the best I could to actually boost the levels, so you'll be able to hear everybody's conversation. Unfortunately, the end of our podcast, which included our predictions for this particular game against Ohio State, did not make it. But suffice to say, we all picked the Frogs to win. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Lucky number 7, as the Frogs take home the nation's most coveted cookware. Mm-hmm. And guys, Ryan, you were there through all of it, the rain and all. What was it like in the stadium?
It started off with them coming on over the intercom 1,000 times telling everybody to get out of the metal seats, that we were in a lightning storm. And we were all just like, no, we're ready to go. We're ready to get this game started. So that was funny in itself. But it was great. This game is so much better than being in the heat. I mean, last week we were down there for that game and I was so miserable. I couldn't even think about watching the game. And this game, it was wonderful. You went through every single emotion, but I will say we had half that stadium full. It was awesome. I mean, we packed it up. So I'm very proud of all the fans.
Quick note, while half the stadium was full of Frog fans, yes, the other half of the stadium was not full of SMU fans.
That's true. It was half empty.
Yeah.
Of red. Yes, exactly. And it wasn't good. But so the game, of course, started off crazy, as it does. Anytime you have weather, it evens out the teams, of course. And I had, you know, my friend Lindy sitting to the right of me and Mike sitting on the left of me, and they're both like, they were getting worried. And I knew we would not lose that game. I knew it, and I knew we'd come back. And I tell you, you know, with Turpin making that tackle and then setting up the rest of the points, keeping that guy from running the ball all the way back to making a score, and then allowing us to make a touchdown right after that. That was amazing. And I know we'll talk a little bit more about Turpin, but he had a great game. Something very special, and then I'll let somebody else talk about this team, because, you know, I don't know all the X's and O's of football, but I just enjoy it from a fan perspective. But, you know, there are years I think everybody could notice that the team just doesn't gel, and they're almost like they're fighting out there. You know, they don't seem to like each other. They're, you know, they don't like the coaches, and you can just tell the chemistry. In years, you know, a few years back where, you know, we'd tackle and we wouldn't wrap up all the way. We'd tackle and then we'd miss the guy, and then they just get up and be like, okay, you know, next play. Every single player on that team cares. You can just tell. I don't know if y'all can tell that or not, but I can feel it and I can see it. When they make a mistake, like Turpin, at one time he called fair catch and he should have probably not called fair catch, and he was so mad at himself. And then there's others that make tackles or miss a tackle and they're just like, it's on me. That's my fault. I'll get it next time. So I'm not saying this team's going to go all the way, because who knows? The Stars really have to line for that. But I will say this is a very special team, and I think we'll remember this team. This will be one of those teams you remember. There's just something about them. I don't know what it is yet, but
no, I agree with that assessment. Just on the camaraderie.
Yeah, and they all care. They just really care about every play.
Right. The announcers did say the other night that during the broadcast that Patterson got a little mad at the team on Thursday and called off practice early because they weren't focusing and put lack of effort. So, you know, and they didn't look all that great in the first half against SMU. I'm with you, Ryan. I didn't even doubt we'd win that game, but there was a while there. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine on the phone. I said, SMU looks like they want this thing more than we do.
Yeah. Well,
they eventually put it all together, and we're their Super Bowl. I get that. But, yeah, I promise you there won't be a lack of effort or any lack of caring this weekend against Ohio State. There better not be.
I'm glad it was a difficult game, because I think if we had run in there and just run over them, I don't know. I mean, Shannon can attest to that. But, you know, after Turpin ran it back for a touchdown, it was like the lights came on in that place. I looked up and I was like, did the lights just come on? I mean, you could just feel the energy. And then after that, you knew we were going to win it. But Shannon, go ahead. I know you have a...
Well, it's like I didn't know that about Thursday, Wes, but it all makes sense to me as a player. And as I look at things on TV, I was able to catch the game and bits and parts and replay and stuff like that, do the cancellation of the event. But it's easy to overlook a team that you just seen get demolished by North Texas in practice because your head is on Ohio State. And if you look at the psychology in it on Thursday, if he canceled practice, most people like, cancel practice, you can make them go longer. Well, no. To your point, Ryan, they care. They want to win. And for Coach Patterson to cancel practice or be disgusted in practice, trust you me, players had meetings. They probably came together after practice. They probably came together in the locker room. Captains probably talked to the team. And, you know, they got it together verbally. Mm-hmm. And due to the weather.
Send a message.
Yeah, you're exactly. So, and then the weather, you know, you have that. You have the overlooking, and it's easy to look towards Ohio State, because I'm telling you, as players, when you have a team that you know you're going to beat and you should beat, it's very easy to get excited a week later for Ohio State. It is. And that's why they teach us you have to focus week by week, one opponent at a time, and don't overlook anybody. And I'll be honest, I probably kind of did that last week, even speaking on the show Monday, because of what we've seen the week before. Mm-hmm. And then that brought me to, well, how much did SMU overlook North Texas getting ready for us?
Exactly.
Obviously a lot. Yeah.
And so it plays a factor, and you can see that because they came to play us at the first quarter there in the rain, whatever. They were trying to. That was our Super Bowl. That was their everything. And I'm like you, Ron. It was a matter of time. I knew once we got going, once we had a couple spark plays with Turf, and things would be going.
Hey, Shannon, and again, guys. I've got a question for you. As a player, because they were talking about this on ESPN when I watched the game back. Actually, I only got to see an hour because I didn't make it record for two more extra hours. But anyway, it's beside the point. I was sad. Did not see the good part of the game. But, all right, on ESPN they were talking about, oh, it's not that big of a deal to be delayed when the game hasn't even started. It's a bigger deal when you've played a half and then or part of the game and then they delay it. But then someone else jumped in and said, no, actually, it's bad either way. Did you ever have any major delays, or what is that like for an athlete?
I played in both ways, and it's just a matter of you going back, getting your mind ready. But sometimes it's harder to me to not be able to play the game and to get pushed back and you're waiting, because you got to realize that started like Thursday night preparation, and then the whole Friday you're waiting and you're having meetings and you're eating, you're just going through stuff mentally and you're ready to play the game. And, you know, you get pushed back 2 hours and it's raining. And it's just one of those deals it makes for sloppy football. Mm-hmm. It just mentally. Once you get it together, and the team who just, you know, obviously SMU came to play. They're at home and all. It was in their, the guys were on their side for a little bit, if you will, because they're playing at home. But
Sure. It's just a matter of going in the locker room, going to get on the sideline, saying, hey, guys, captains, coaches, and nobody panic. That's one thing I didn't see. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any panic. Now, I was with some people, and they were giving me a hard time, and I told them just a matter of time before our defense got ready. And as soon as I say that, I believe Dunham, that somebody forced fumble, and he picked it up.
Yeah, Banigou forced the fumble. Yeah, Dunham scored.
And all of a sudden, and I just got through telling them, defense is going to win this game, get us going. And boom, it happened just like that, and we never looked back. So it's just a matter of that one player, too, getting us going or getting anybody going who has the will and the heart to just get out there and win in any kind of circumstances and getting it done. And we did that.
Yeah.
If you go back and take a look, though, about the point about the defense, though, they gave up that one big play.
Yeah.
They did have missed tackles, missed assignments in that first series against SMU. SMU scores the touchdown. And it happens. We see this all the time with Patterson's defense. I mean, if Patterson's defense could keep you off the board in the first couple of possessions, that's not good for you, because then he's turning the screws and he's locking it down. But eventually, I mean, it doesn't even matter who we play. Typically, you're going to see a score of some kind in the first couple of possessions by whoever we're playing. But they give up that one score. After that, realistically, they only gave up the field goal at the end of the first half. Yeah. And they did have the scoop and score. So in the end, the defense actually kind of came out on top of that exchange. But yeah, overall, it was, I think, indicative in that first quarter of the weather delay, like you were talking about, Shannon. You get out of that rhythm, you get out of that rut, you get out of that preparation, that mindset. And then, of course, it was just sloppy field conditions. Right. And, you know, those two
and
things.
And I'm not
was,
one to speak my own horn.
You're not what? I'm sorry.
No, and I say I'm not one to toot my own horn, but I believe I said last week that we would give up how many points and our scores.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh yeah.
I didn't know about the rain and all the how we do that, but again, it's just one of those games we're gonna play. We're gonna give up some points, but we're gonna, you know, we're gonna beat TCU at the end of the day against a team like that. We're gonna come together. We're gonna rally, and you know, we took care of business, so we definitely don't deserve any dings. And all the kind of the crappy talk from naysayers that I've been hearing about a game like that. Everybody's going to have
them. And we did bump up one spot, too.
I understand Patterson's scheduling philosophy, but I think I don't like the starting off the season with two relatively weak teams like that, because you're not getting any kind of challenge and your guys aren't getting what they need. Shannon, you may disagree with me, and that's fine if you do. But I can, you know, I hate to go from week to week to Ohio State, you know. I'd rather go a weak team, a mediocre team, and SMU, I guess, was supposed to be the mediocre team, and then go to a powerful team. But I don't like starting off the season like that with two patsies. Sorry, Coach Dykes, but your team's a patsy. I'd rather our guys get a little bit of a challenge.
Well, you definitely don't want something, you know, sometimes trap games. You're not wrong. You're not right. You know, it's just one of those situations where you look at that, see how healthy we will be going. And you go play a big time team right out of the gate that can have, you know, that'll beat you up a little bit. You should win, but that beat you up a little bit. And you come in and it takes you, guys, some of these injuries take 2 or 3 weeks, something, you know, longer than that just to heal up.
Yeah.
Don't go into this third week healthy. And we have everything we need to fight the fight we're going to need to fight, because it's going to be a game. Yeah. And you can't – that strategy of these two games works out for us. Mm-hmm. What you don't want is to beat up going to Ohio State, maybe missing a key player, and we're already missing our guy in the middle there, big man.
Blacklock. Yeah.
That hurts as it is. So from that standpoint, we're looking good.
And Patterson agrees with you, because last Tuesday during his press conference, he made the exact same point. One of the media was asking him a similar question to what Wes was saying. It was like, hey, why don't you schedule somebody else other than SMU? And he's like, look, I know you guys want us to play, you know, a P5 team every single week. I understand that, but the problem is that if you see some of these teams that are doing that, what happens by the time they get to their conference schedule? They have all these injuries. They have all these problems. And it's just, you know, and it's not just a matter of just bad luck or just not having, you know, it's just the injury bug, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Everybody who plays those kind of tough schedules, like you said, Shannon, they get nicked up real easily and real quick. Injuries are going to happen throughout the season, but why invite injuries?
We don't have the luxury like the other teams of having divisions. I mean, we play a round robin, so we play every single team every single year. And something else that people might not have realized against SMU is that, first of all, it's one of the longest standing traditions that we play each other in the nation. So we don't ever want to see that game go away. I think it went away a couple years, and it's just kind of sad. Like, we all miss A&M and UT playing each other. That was a good Thanksgiving when we got to watch that game.
It's kind of hard to play the Mustangs when they don't have a football team.
It is true. It's true. But what I will say is that, you know, the game probably wasn't that hard for the players. However, for the coaches, I feel like it was a little bit more difficult for them, because what we have two coaches that used to coach at TCU that are now coaching for SMU, and two former players, right? So we had about four people that know how we play. So, you know, the coaches kind of had to – we had to execute really well, you know, because they probably knew.
Who are the players?
Okay, I got to call him by the real name. But we have Chris. Chris is over there. Bransfield is over there.
Oh, yeah.
And Jamal Powell.
Yeah,
I'm missing one more.
One day you'll have to tell us why you call him Cheese.
I think there's a backstory there.
Yeah, we'll save that for another podcast.
We all have nicknames. Trust me. But to your point, Ryan, if you look at even the second half, we shut them down. And to me, you go in, you coach them up, and now it becomes – and that's another thing, Gary, after we shut out – we hadn't allowed any points in the second half yet. And so that's just a matter of going back, saying, okay, here's what we did. This is what we need to fix. Here's what we're doing wrong. Here's what we're doing right. This is what we're going to stick to, and come back out. And we shut people down. And that's coaching, guys. That's just a matter of, you know, we outplayed them and we outcoached them. That's exactly how you look at that. So, you know –
Yeah,
and we lost the turnover battle in this game. I mean, we had some mental errors, from a snap that wasn't a snap to a punt that wasn't a punt. We had some mental errors in this particular game, but overall, this is the kind of game it kind of helps you. Shannon, back me up if I'm or criticize me if I'm wrong here. This is the kind of game where it looked like everything in the first quarter that could go wrong for TCU did go wrong for TCU. But to Ryan's point, nobody panicked. Nobody got crazy. Nobody started screaming at each other on the sidelines. You didn't see guys going back and forth and yelling in each other's faces. Everyone stayed calm. Everyone did their assignment. And in the end, everything worked out as they are coached to do. And those are the kind of games that kind of give you a little bit of confidence. Like, yeah, things are going to go wrong every now and then, but you know what? I can trust the guys around me to get me through this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that says a lot, being that we're a young team. Think about that. We're a young team. It's easy for young guys to panic. And we saw no panic in the O-line, D-line, backups that, you know, people who are getting their starts right now at a young age. We didn't see any of it. And so, and I didn't see it from the coaches. I was looking at Patterson very close. And
he did change his shirt at halftime.
Did he? Right. I didn't catch that. Well, probably because it was wet.
He went from black to purple.
He did go black to purple?
Probably was. Yeah, he went from black to purple.
The
purple shirt was back. So, yeah.
But I think we're all just one of those games where everyone knew it's just a matter of time before we pull it together. Once we pull it together, that they wouldn't be able to be in. We put them away, and that's just what we saw. That that's it.
Yeah, and it was supposed to go that way.
Yeah,
You know, and I'm sure the players expected it to go that way. And when it didn't go that way, the good thing again was nobody panicked. There were a couple guys defensively that were getting a little frustrated just in their own, you know, individual assignments, but overall there wasn't like massive panic, you know, and eventually we wore SMU down and we got fine. Now, if they can have that same kind of demeanor against Ohio State, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, that'll be nice, especially out of this young team.
For all you gamblers, we covered the spread.
I don't gamble, but that makes me happy. I think that's probably why we went up one spot in the polls. You know it.
Yeah, we got jumped by West Virginia, so we are 15. But
good. I'm glad. That makes us That makes us better in the long run. I think we're better when we're behind.
One of these days, we got to get a leader mentality, like, you know.
I like it. We're
mentality
gritty.
Being the lead dog, you know. The scenery is better when you're the lead dog. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
So.
Underdog gain more fans.
I agree. I like being the underdog.
That's true. Well, overall, I think the game turned out really well. Thoughts on Robinson? What did you guys think of Robinson?
He showed his age a little bit. I mean, that's what it is. But here's the deal. A guy like that, again, he had the – we would probably, you know, I guess you could disagree with me or not, but a guy like that being so young could probably kind of fold up a little bit and start beating himself up mentally over the mistakes. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that from the guy. He came out with and showed his poise and showed his maturity, and he got things done. He never panicked. He never wavered under the pressure of the stress we were putting on ourselves, yeah. And he got it done. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I love what I saw. I actually like what I saw more this game than I did the first one.
Yeah, I agree with that. Did you guys notice that in this game there were several opportunities where he could have just taken off and run with the ball, mm-hmm. but he stayed in the pocket, he moved around a little bit, he tried to get the ball downfield. I mean, in past, I mean, I think the first year that Boykin was at quarterback, mm-hmm. Maybe the first 2 years Boykin was at quarterback, definitely with Kenny Hill, those guys, if they had any daylight whatsoever, they weren't looking to try to make the play downfield. They were just gone. Mm-hmm. And right. A lot of times it was to their detriment. And it was nice to see Robinson just kind of like keep his poise, stay in the pocket a little bit, work it around a little bit. And if he did have to take off, it was kind of like the, I can't really find anybody downfield and I'll take off. And there was only one time where he threw that interception that he actually stared down a receiver. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, he went through his progressions very well.
Yeah. Well, if you know the background on Robinson before even high school, that's what he did. He ran. He never had the weapons that he has around him now. He doesn't have to run. And that's a luxury for everybody, even for himself. So now he can sit in the pocket. He can literally go through his progressions and get rid of the ball because he has so many weapons. And if he has to run, I mean, that's just like, you know, worst case scenario, right? But it turns out it's a good thing for us. But in his head, that's the worst thing if I just take off and run because pick up the first down or more, right? But he has so many weapons. He doesn't have to run. He literally, if he can sit back in the pocket and throw it, believe me, that's what he's going to do.
You know what else? I know I still feel like, I mean, he's had a lot of good passes that should have been caught, right? And SMU is a little different because maybe the ball is slippery, but I'm hoping that when we play Ohio State, all that go. I mean, I know you can't catch every pass that's passed to you, but surely when it hits you in the face mask or the chest, that you should probably catch it. Yeah, there are a lot you're just like, oh my God, that pass was perfect. How did you drop it? And I think that's nerves. I mean, Shannon, you know more than I, but that's probably just something that gets worked out as the season goes on, where they feel more comfortable and confident in themselves. Or what do you think is the cause of that? Because we know they can catch the ball.
It could be anything. It really, yeah. when you're not catching the balls and they're hitting you, it's a focus issue. Yeah. That's all that is. It's a focus issue.
Yeah.
And again, we talked about it. It was a crazy night. It was a crazy mm-hmm. night. I'm telling you now, come Saturday, we're going to have to focus. We don't have the luxury of dropping balls that should be caught. We won't have the luxury. We will pay for drop balls that we should catch. Okay. Certain balls, I mean, crazy balls, hard, you know, I get that. But balls that we know, fans or no fans, a student of the game or not a student of the game, and you know that ball should be caught, we have to catch those balls. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't, come Saturday, and it just is what it is, a Frog fan love the game, Saturday is going to be a big test, and we cannot, the team, I mean, obviously, we can't make those mistakes. We can't.
Yeah.
Or they'll make us pay. They'll make us pay.
Yeah.
And so in our league, we're going to get tested, and, you know, that's one of those games we've got to keep defense fresh. We've got to keep them off. Drives will be a big key. We cannot afford a bunch of three and outs. Got to drive the ball. We got to get defense rest because, in my personal opinion, defense is going to win that game for us.
I agree. Yeah. And we'll talk about that when we get to Ohio State. Wes, how about you? What did you see out of the offense that you liked? Oh, wait, Wes, you're muted. Giving us all this wonderful insight, but he's muted. He'll find the mute button. He's getting it. He's almost got it. He's still muted. Oh.
He's close.
Still muted.
10 seconds left on the play clock. Y'all snap the ball.
Yeah. About to get a delay a game. Call a timeout.
Call timeout.
No.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, he's got the wrong headsets in. You got to unmute it, man.
Can he even hear you?
I think he can.
Can someone, does anybody know sign language?
Sign. How can you sign to unmute the
mouse? Somebody write it on a piece of paper and hold it up to the camera. Unmute.
Well, while we're waiting on Wes to get back on, one quick little note, because I was up in the press box for this. Couple things from what I saw with the media in the press box. you probably read in the articles following this game, the media made it kind of a, not necessarily a big deal out of it, but they did include it in a lot of their stories, and that the two-hour time delay set up kind of an uncommon thing in college football, and that was that after the pregame was over, both teams were on the field during the national anthem. Now, to be honest with you, after a two-hour delay, that was the last thing that was on my mind. On my mind was, let's get to playing football. But you would not believe how many of the media in that press box were just waiting with, like, bated breath. Like, is somebody going to kneel? Is somebody going to kneel? I mean, they weren't even paying attention to the national anthem. They were just scanning the sidelines for somebody kneeling just to create a story.
Oh, gosh. I know. Stupid.
Now, I mean, to me, it was just like, oh, come on. Give it up, guys. Now, in the end, in case anybody really does care, nobody knelt.
No.
And Patterson was – they were even asked Patterson about it in his postgame comments, and he said, look, he said, the only thing I told the guys was we're going to be out there for national anthem. Make sure your hat's off.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all he said. He said, I didn't have to go any further than that. That's the way to handle it. But it just amazes me how, you know, the media wants to try to set up this as a storyline. And there wasn't a storyline, but they still mentioned it even though it wasn't a big deal. So for those people who are worried about it, it was only a story in the mind of the media people that were actually in the press box. But the funniest thing that actually happened during this entire game was not something that happened actually on the field. It was something I mentioned. Remember, I told you guys this last week, that the SMU press box announcer is one of the most hilarious press box announcers, and it's not for something that he does seriously. It's just that he's the worst when it comes to pronouncing the names of the players. You would not believe how many times he tried to say Shaywo's last name.
It's hard.
And he was not even in the vicinity, not even in the orbit. At one point in time, he actually slipped up and said Oompa Loompa.
Oh.
I'm not joking.
It's hard. Let's all try to say it right now. I was saying it in the media guide. It like spells it out how you're supposed to say it phonetically.
Alana Lua.
Say it again. Oh.
Alana Lua.
Alana Lua. Alana Lua. Alana Lua.
Alana Lua.
Shaywo Alana Lua.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic name, and I get it. I mean, I understand that, but they have pronunciation guides.
They do.
Not only that, but they got people like in his ear, like going, "Okay, that's not how you say that. This is how you actually say it."
And yeah.
I felt bad for him about halfway through the game because you could just tell when they handed off the ball, he was going, oh, crap.
I would just say his number. Or at least just say his first name, Shaywo. You know,
no. 2 years ago, he did that. 2 years ago, he switched from calling people's names to just calling numbers.
I feel bad for him.
The old college try this time around. So.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy, especially so fast you have to call the names, and then you get a tongue twister like that.
Well, the other one was De Mercado's. He could not say De Mercado to save his life. It was like De Merco.
Well, they're all kind of weird names. There's a lot of them.
Marcato.
Yeah.
Like just throwing darts at a phonetic dartboard. It's just like, I don't know. But anyway, so that was, that's always a pleasure when you go to SMU because you get to hear them try, you know, to pronounce everybody's last name. So
bless his heart.
It was all good. So with that, Wes, did you find the mute button yet?
Don't think so.
Let's see if maybe poor I can Wes. Unmute him. Let's see. I can't unmute someone else. Oh well. I can't unmute you, Wes. I'm sorry.
Aw.
He's trying to say. What do you mean? You got to hit the unmute button. Go move your mouse over the screen. No, it's not your. It's not. You're muted on
computer.
Google. You got to move your mouse over it and unmute yourself from the bottom of the screen. Looking.
Okay.
He's on. You're on.
I don't know how in the hell I did that.
Wes, it's okay.
Can I say hell?
I think you can say that one. Yeah.
It's okay.
I can say a lot worse. But
you pronounced it right, so I'll allow it.
Yeah, okay. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting this week because our defense better come ready to play. I'm just looking at some numbers here. And our buddies at Ohio State are averaging 64 points a game.
Yes, sir.
They haven't played really anybody yet either. So.
No, I know.
I'm trying to make myself feel better, you know.
Yeah, and we're averaging. We're not doing bad, 48.5 points a game. You know, and we're –
we're giving up 8.3 points a game, which is not
bad. Well, do you guys want to jump right into talking about Ohio State, or we can just skip over the Big 12 scores, just go straight into Ohio State?
Let's do it.
All right. So this Saturday night, it's the matchup everybody's been waiting for, TCU versus the Little Sisters of the Poor.
And we have game day.
Yeah, we do have game day. How about that? So get out to campus early and then go to Jerry's World afterwards for the afternoon tailgate and stay there for the night for the TCU victory. So there you go. So let's talk about the Buckeyes. Urban Meyer is not going to be – did you break your glass, Ryan?
No, but I was stretching and I hit the table with my heel.
Oh, okay. So sounded like you broke
the wine is still good.
It's okay, Ryan. Okay.
I know, right?
Let's start off with Urban Meyer. Not going to be at the game, but is there any doubt in your mind that he's not going to at least try to be in somebody's ear for this particular game?
Of course. And Cap Patterson said, of course he will be, and he'd do it too. Oh. Can you blame him?
Do you think Patterson was serious or was he joking? Sad.
I think he's being, wouldn't you? I mean, really? Today's technology? He could like fly a drone in there and, you know, be on camera and everything.
But if he gets caught having communications, it could be big time trouble.
I mean, there's so many ways to communicate. I don't think it'll happen during the game, but halftime, I absolutely believe he'll be sending some notes to some people. Yeah.
That's what text messages are for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's what burner phones and text messaging is for, right?
He's having trust issues, so I don't know. So we'll see.
That's right, that Pinocchio knows.
So Ohio State, coming into this game, we just mentioned it, they haven't really played – they've kind of had the same kind of setup schedule that we've had coming into this. They've played one cupcake, one mediocre team. They've handled both very, very well. They're obviously a very good team. They've got a ton of talent. They are probably well-deserving of the ranking they currently have. But how do you guys think the Frogs match up with Ohio State defensively and offensively?
Ooh. Well, listen, we're going to match their speed on defense. We're fast. That's one thing we are. And you have to fight speed with speed. And so it's going to come – it's going to be a match. But again, I will always take – and I call it against Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're big. They're physical. But can they deal with our strength and our speed for four straight quarters up front? That's the thing. We're always going to be fast. We're always going to be conditioned. And I'm not saying they're not. But I will take – when you pound on big boys and it's kind of like control the middle week in, once they get a conference play, that's one thing. But once we can get on the edge, we can blitz, we can do so much, and we're coming at them nonstop. Can they handle that for four quarters? And that's why I will bet on our front six any day when it comes to playing the big boys. And that's where we've been successful because we wear them down. So it's going to be a fast game. It's going to come down to the team that makes less mistakes. Again, this is going to be one of the turnover battles. Going to be key. Mm-hmm. Special teams is going to be key. You're going to, and both sides of the ball now. Not just us. Both sides will have to play a perfect game. And I guarantee you, we will be ready, like we always are when we play the big time.
I always get a kick out of playing these teams because they're known for having a big line, as Wisconsin was, and their fans are kind of taking the same approach that Wisconsin did with us. You know, like, you have no idea what you're getting ready to step on the field with, how big our guys were. My answer is, you can't block what you can't catch.
Right.
You know, if you can't, you know, you guys have no idea how fast we are. And I think our whole team, Shannon, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe our whole defense averages about a 4.6 and a 40, which ain't bad. Okay. And that's including interior and perimeter linemen as well, and linebackers. You know, our linebackers are pretty darn fast. So, it's going to be some matchup issues at times out there. It'll be interesting to watch.
If I'm not mistaken, did they play Oregon State? Or was that
they
first?
Okay. Yeah, they put 77 up on Oregon State.
One thing I remember is Oregon State had a fast guy in their one of the receivers. Once he broke, he reminded me of Turpin. The guy got out, nobody could catch him.
Is it?
Let you know, secondary is not as, you know, once we get past the secondary or get into a foot race, we can run off on them. And we have the speed to do so. And so, it just, again, you just, you're nitpicking, you're trying to look for their flaws, but they're not a perfect team. That playing by, they're definitely not a perfect team right now. So, it's going to be a big one. I know, you know, all the big, the bettors and gamblers, they would probably take Ohio State in this game, but I'm telling you, it's not going to be what you think.
Well, and two, I think you're exactly right, Shannon. We seem to shine in these moments and surprise the heck out of everybody. And you know what? I think everybody in the nation, unless they're an Ohio State Buckeye fan, is going to be rooting for TCU. So that's pretty exciting as well. You know, it's interesting. We put out an article on Frogs Wire this week about all the Texas players that are on the team, and there's we're apparently the fastest man in college football in 2018, according to the NFL, is from Texas. Is number seven. Let's see, he is the junior cornerback Kendall Sheffield. He's a former five star, so you know we'll want to watch for him. You know what? Hold on a second. I'm reading that wrong. He was in there. He was a senior last year. I don't know why that's written in there. Sorry, guys. The other guy is a star tailback, J.K. Dobbins. Started all 14 games for the Buckeyes as a true freshman last year, earning freshman All-American, second team All-Big Ten honors. And he's from Texas out of LaGrange. And we actually recruited him. So there's, I think, about seven guys. I think maybe four or five of them are actually starters on this Ohio State team. So they're going to, and a lot of these guys, a few of them, I think three of them, recruited by TCU. So this will be, it'll be interesting. It'll be good. To say that I won't be nervous, and for me in my mind, this game's going to really suck because my heart's going to be like in my throat the whole game. You know, it's just going to be palpitating and my hands are going to be sweating until the bitter end. It's going to, some people like those kind of games. I would just assume win into going into the half, like, you know, just put it away. But obviously it's not going to be like that. I'm going to take my sedative before I go to the game, right?
Right. Well, I mean, these guys have really good matchups across the board. I think ESPN had it down somewhere like, you know, 87 or 83%. Overmatch of TCU as far as personnel goes, and mm-hmm. Ohio State did open up as a 12-point favorite in this particular game. But you know, to you guys' point earlier, I mean, we do play better as when we're the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I think these guys are really hungry and they want to prove themselves. These young guys that we have on TCU. So, but you know, they're going to be a couple of guys that you need to watch out for. And the stats on Ohio State. A couple of things you got to understand about the stats. For instance, Terry McLaurin, one of their receivers, he has monster stats right now. Just through two games, he has 172 yards receiving. It sounds great, mm-hmm. but he's only done it over five catches. One of them was a 75-yard touchdown. So, I mean, the other things are, you know, Tate Martell has, you know, close to 100 yards rushing in this already this season, and but half of that was just one run rush. I mean, you know, 47 yards. So they've had a lot of really, really long, big plays on the two teams that they have played. And I think we all know that Patterson's defense is probably good for one of those in a game. You might get two, depending on if somebody misses an assignment. But after that, he's going to turn the screws on you, and you ain't going to be able to get much. So I don't foresee some of these big stats actually translating in this particular game. I know a lot of Ohio State fans, especially came on the board this week, Wes, about how Wisconsin fans were beforehand. Like, you don't know what's about to hit you. But, you know, looking at these stats, they're impressive, yes, but when you really start to dig down into it, these guys have speed, they've got talent, they can definitely get the job done. But at the same time, the two teams they played against gave up a ton of big plays, which just had their stats.
And another thing, Dwayne, you know, let's not leave out the quarterback seven there. Their quarterback, he's tall, he's 6'3", 198 pounds. He's the world. Yes, he's throwing the ball around, and he has a big arm. But again, he has not seen the defense. Nobody's been in his face. I hadn't seen him take any, you know, decent hits thus far. So that's another thing. You know, as he's been playing well, I believe he had 300 yards, something like that, four touchdowns. passes. But
Haskins had 9 touchdowns.
I'm going to say more than that. Yeah, I think maybe old question, but
he's good.
A big guy. But again, respect him, but he hadn't seen a defense like ours yet. So listen, it's going to be a div. Our secondary is going to be tested. We're going to have to be sound football. We're going to be, you know, to make sure we're checking our responsibilities, knowing where we're supposed to be. He can make you pay, but then again, if we're in his face constantly and we're, the pressure's on him, we could rattle him. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be one thing that you don't know, because we know what we know. We know about TC thus far, weather, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, they hadn't played anybody. So when you come in here now it's too big. It's a game. It's a big game for them. It's a big game for us. It's a game of unknowns. Mm-hmm. We just building off the hype of Ohio State versus TCU, Jerry's World, but there's still so many unknowns because they hadn't played anybody. We're going to have to see what happens at 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
You know what else is every Ohio State fan that I know, and there is a lot of them, and I guarantee the majority of them have never even been to an Ohio State game in Ohio or ever stepped foot on campus. But anyway, that's beside the point. They
T-shirt fans,
right? You know, and so I get in trouble for that, but oh my God, they're everywhere. They're going to just take over Fort Worth and Dallas. But they think they don't know anything about TC, which I find it funny, because it's not like, you know, we're new news or anything. We've been around for about 18 years now, and ranked in very high. We're like, out of the 6 teams, we're up there with Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, there's one more, and then it's TCU. I can't remember the other team. But that aside, the fans just think that they think it's a joke. They think we're another, you know, Rutgers that they're about to play. I mean, they really do. And I hope so much that the players do too. Oh, we're going to play the Little Sisters of the Poor. Well, hopefully I hope that's how they come into the game, because then we will unleash on them.
Well, you know they will, but just like TCU kind of played a little flat in the first quarter, I don't think they're going to be the type of team that you can just reach up, punch them square in the jaw, and then they go down. No. I think this is just the minute they realize that they're going to be in for a dogfight, it's going to be a dogfight to the finish.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then the team that's going to win is – I would always bet on heart more than talent, because if anybody's ever coached kids – the most talented aren't always the ones that are the best. So, and I would say that we're grittier and fighting. I think we have more fight in us, but we'll see. It'll come down to. I just hope they play a good game. You know, have a good game.
Fight, but this isn't like TCU teams in the past where you know, that whole, like, we really got to latch on to just being that blue collar scrappy underdog. We do have talent.
We cannot make mistakes.
That does help. But it does help. It does help to have that talent. But if that talent is focused,
exactly,
that's what needs to happen. I mean, the guys, Gladney and Lewis, are going to have their hands full with this receiving core all game long. I'm hoping we see Summers back at linebacker for this particular game. I know we're stacked at linebacker, but I think he would do best at linebacker than trying to rush off the edge. I think if we can get a faster guy on the edge to actually rush rather than Summers, I think that would help out, because going back to what Shannon was talking about with speed, you got to match speed against speed. But we all know the offensive line at Ohio State, those guys eat and eat and eat and eat.
They're big.
And they're huge. And that's great. And so was Wisconsin. But how do we beat them at Wisconsin? Speed. And it wasn't in the first quarter. It wasn't in the second quarter. It was about halfway through the third quarter. Yeah, they started kind of wearing down. You know, that bull rush, that speed rush off the end, I mean, eventually that wears you down throughout the game. So I would like to see Summers move to linebacker, because I think he'd do a better job plugging holes, especially against this talented running back that Ohio State's got. So,
and you know, something else that we can't overlook or forget about is that Gary Patterson has studied them. He is going to have the players more prepared. If I were going to bet on a coach to win a game, it's going to be Gary. Now, can the players execute? We don't know. That day, we'll find out on Saturday. But,
well, I tell you, through the first two games, I would say the answer to that question is yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say yes, because they've shown us that they can execute. They've shown us that they can come out flat, turn it around, flip the switch, and execute a game plan.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you like this, guys. They'll be ready, because, you know, I'm pretty sure Gary hadn't switched it up, but even all season, you know, when we would study film or do anything in the classroom, we kind of peaked and get, and to your point, Ryan, trust me, Gary's been, guys, he knows everything about him inside and out. You know, he probably knows what uniform they're wearing. He knows it all. Done his homework all summer long. Our prices today, he knows we're going to play him. But what happens is he throws a little bit at us, a little out of time, not to overlook anybody, but we start looking and start in practice going through some plays that they may run, getting us used to it in the offseason and the summertime. So when I tell them that they know everything about Ohio State, they know everything about Ohio State. The players will be ready to play them. And there will not be any twist or see. There'll be nothing else on us that we won't be ready for. I feel like that.
Yeah.
We'll be ready.